morning, I do want us to go to this, because I think this is so important for us to have that sense of expectation with God. He wants to bless us. It says here in Hebrews 9, chapter 9 and verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Okay? Now, what happens in many people's lives is they turn off from God and they lose their sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit because they become aware of their failures. They remember the time that they lost their temper. They lost their temper. They got frustrated. They were cross and angry. And the enemy remembers it to them. And he says, you remember what you did? You remember you lost your temper. Oh, now you're going to go to church, and now you're going to pray, and now you're going to read the Bible. You lost your temper. And the enemy always tries to remind us of what we've done wrong. And it could be a temper problem. It could be all manner of things that could have problems with, weaknesses in our lives. But this beautiful scripture is saying that we are to be cleansed in our conscience. Our conscience is cleansed from dead works. Now that's good works as well as bad works. But what happens in so many Christians' lives is they get into the trap of works, a works orientation. So what happens? They behave badly, they've messed up, they've failed. And then they say to themselves, I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to do better. I'm really determined to do better. And they start to define themselves and their relationship with God through their ability to behave and do well and keep to the parameters of the expected Christian life. And that's setting themselves up for failure, because you and I alike will never be able to stick within those parameters of behavior so that we could feel as if through behavior we're right with God. It'll never happen. We're going to get frustrated. We live in the corrupt flesh. There are going to be times when we fail. And yet the good news is, the gospel is, that God doesn't define us by those failures. What I'm saying is this, that's not how we should look at ourselves anymore. We shouldn't condemn ourselves by our failures. We should train ourselves that if there is a failure, once we recognize that we failed, rather than condemning ourselves and being negative, we should use that conscience to turn to Jesus and say, glory to God, I failed, but he didn't. He paid the price. The price is paid in full. All of my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm in a great position with God, despite my failure. And I will never again look at my life by my ability to behave perfectly, or my behavior not to be perfect. I'm not going to define myself and my walk with God by my behavior. I'm going to define my life and my walk with God by Jesus alone. Hallelujah! His finished behavior at the cross did it for me. That defines me. So if you look at me and you see imperfections, you're not looking closely enough. Look a bit closer and you may see the blood of Jesus Christ which has washed me clean according to the Holy Scripture. Hallelujah! If you look to me and you see my frailties, look a bit closer, my friends. You'll see the blood of Jesus Christ has washed me. Are you washed in the blood? Are you clean? Oh, that should be some rejoicing stuff there, my friends. Washed in the blood and clean. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, it's so wonderful, this gospel. So rich. He says this. Let me read it again. Watch this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And that's the good works of religion as well. The good works of religion is included in that. And particularly so, as this is the book of Hebrews. It's not that religious outward stuff that makes us right. It's the beautiful cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it says to serve the living God. This is what happens. When we know that we're at peace with God and we're not trapped in the good works trap of good works, I'm reading the Bible, I'm praying, I'm not losing my temper, I'm reading the Bible, I'm praying, I'm not losing my temper. Now I'm on a good track. No, my friends, you're on a good track because of Jesus, and that's it. Once you know that you're on the good track because of Jesus, and that's it, what happens? You're in a better position then to serve God, to serve the living God. So the cleansing of the conscience causes us then to be a vessel that can serve God. Because then what happens is we have access to the joy of the Lord. I mean, whenever you see a Christian without joy, there's a problem right there. They're probably trapped in this poor thinking. Because the Christians should have joy. There must be joy in the Lord. Regardless of the circumstances of life, the reality of the gospel causes joy to spring up inside of us. Joyful because of our position in the Lord. But that joyfulness then causes us to hear from the Lord. Causes us to hear what we should do for the Lord. To serve him. And causes the Church of Jesus Christ to really do what it's been called to do. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But it doesn't happen with people trying and effort and human effort and works and trying and works. It happens with the liberty that this gives us, the sacrifice of Jesus, the reality of redemption in our lives causes us to serve the living God. Because then there's no blockage, you see. And then we have an expectation as well. Because if I'm works orientated, what happens is my focus is on works. My focus is on my behavior, not on his behavior. And if I'm focused on my behavior and not his behavior, my expectation is lowered. I don't have any expectation. But if I focus on him, the expectations of the New Testament start to grow in me. Wonderful expectations. Expectations about what God has called me to. Expectations about what the gospel is meant to do in my life, in my family, in my community, my church, and further afield. Tremendous expectations come when the focus is on God and his finished work. Are you with me this morning, everyone? It's such a simple message, but it's so important. It's so vitally important. I'm just saying, let's take it on board this morning and let this be the reality that we have. Let me read a scripture. We heard about peace. Our sister mentioned about peace. Let me read a scripture which speaks to us when we live in this reality before God. Come with me to Colossians. And Colossians chapter 3. And this is something that we have to do. It's our choice. But the scripture's so clear to us. It encourages us to do this with strength. And by the way, let me just say, before I read this, I'm so happy that we are a church that prays. And I'm so happy that I have trustees who are sincere and want to pray in trustees' meetings and are open to hear from God. You know, Peter, in his testimony, says he prayed about that and the Lord spoke to him, and then he went back and he found that passport. Sometimes the Lord surprises us when we ask him specifically in prayer with the direction he gives. I shared that when we were considering whether we should meet or not, what we did as a church, as trustees, we decided, right, we're going to pray. Let's ask the Lord. It's his church. It's not our church, it's his church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the body, but, you know, let's ask him. And sure enough, he confirmed the word of God to us. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter his courts with praise. And here we are. But it was the Holy Spirit speaking to us, leading us, guiding us with the peace that guides us. And in Colossians 3, from verse 15, it says this: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule. Wow. That's what our sister was saying. The very thing. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Songs from the Spirit. What are songs from the Spirit, everyone? I started this morning with singing a song from the Spirit. It's just making it up as it goes along. We make up songs from the Spirit all the time. And it's so enriching, isn't it? The one that the Lord gives us this morning. Beautiful song from the Spirit. The armor of God is our strength. The armor of God is our strength. The armor of God is our strength. The armor of God is upon us. The armor of God is upon us. The armor of God is upon us. Because we worship and glorify his name. Yes, we worship and glorify his name. Just flowing so easy, flowing with the Lord, so easy. The words, they just come. He's just making things up in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He speaks to us and he guides us and encourages us. And it's so wonderful, isn't it, to live this way? Songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It's very difficult to sing with gratitude in your heart if you're works orientated in life. If you find that your home isn't such, there's not so much singing and rejoicing in your home, in your personal life, if there's not so much singing and rejoicing, it may be because you're works orientated. But when you become orientated on the reality of Jesus and all that he's done for us, the reality of what happened at the cross, the great exchange of the cross, the great exchange where he took all of our sin and he gave us all of his righteousness so that we would be the righteousness of God in Christ. When that becomes a reality, there's going to be singing in your life. there's going to be joy and singing in your life. And this is the truth, with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We give him praise this morning. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Seven o'clock this evening, I'm going to continue on the Facebook Live, everyone. But let's stand now and let's